Yeah, let me just ask a quick question as we start here. I just wanted to check in because, you know, of course, this is not a donation pitch, but I do ask for donations. Is it too much? Is it too little? Is it the right way or is it the wrong way? Is it annoying? Is it a plus? Is it nice to see somebody openly asking for what they want? Is in terms of asking for donations, is there a way that I could do it better or just to get your feedback? Is it like, because I remember I used to watch these shows on, I can't remember what it was called, but there was this woman, Goldie. It was a show in Buffalo, I guess in the 80s. It was a public show and they used to request donations or want donations. And I found it incredibly grating and annoying. And it would seem to just go on and on. Right, so they would do like Monty Python once in a while, or they would do Fawlty Towers marathons or whatever. And so, you know, it was stuff that I wanted to see, stuff that I was interested in. But man alive, it just went on and on. It went on for hours, it felt like. And so I just wanted to double check since, you know, I have to be responsible to the show and its income, but I don't want to be annoying. Is it too much? Is it too little? It's not too little. I assume it's not too little. But the ads are good. Let's see here. Compared to other content creators, you're in 5th percentile of asking. Yes, but which side? The 5th percentile could be 95 plus in terms of insistence or 5 or less. So I just wanted to double check. It's a good example for me. You're all good, bro, I think. You're about spot on with you asking for donations. I think it's nice to see you ask directly for what you want. It's not just a want. I mean, it's not what you want. I prefer raising the subscription price. That's very generous of you. Now, of course, you can raise the subscription price if you want, right? You can go higher if you want. It's not annoying. The pace is good. I think you should integrate it so we don't even notice in a subliminal way. Donate. So what you're thinking, donate, is that I should just donate, bring it into donate what I'm saying as a whole donate. Something like that, right? It's not too much. Feedback from Mitch. No issues with the way donation pitches have been made. It's good for me. I think you would find many people who enjoy your work and would want to donate to support over on Badlands Media on Rumble. I don't know what that means. I did, of course, screen to Rumble, but it's very, very little there. The As Inspiration Strikes for code donations feels more connected than the page reads or awkward segues. I think the segue you spelt there is a personal mobility device, but S-E-G-U-E, I think it is. Since you're working on the Peaceful Parenting book and telling us what you need, it's perfectly honest to generate donations for the book and the show as a whole. Did Steph's friends Bob have any crazy adventures lately? That's funny. 5,000 dollars return. Return to Twitter donation incentive. Oh, that's delightful. It's good to know what you think my price is. I know you're joking, right? Do one live stream where you only ask for donations to get it off your mind. Just kidding. I'm fine with the way you do it so far. No, but people won't watch that, right? So it has to be sort of integrated. Screen banner. Yeah. I keep losing you as you move around, but found you and locals through Rumble. Do I keep moving around? I don't know. I prefer you asking for donations as opposed to other creators pitching questionable products. Yeah, yeah. I think you're pushing hard enough for what you value, for what value you provide. It seems a little much for long-term listeners, but so is the coffee table story. Oh, is that... Oh, that's kind of cold, isn't it, my friend? Is the coffee table story, is that when I got beaten as a child? I'm not sure how the ha-ha fits into that tale of pretty horrendous child abuse. Maybe you're talking about a different story, but that seems a little chilly in the bone marrow. yes, of course, it's okay to ask for donations. Please keep focusing on the exchange of value for value. Thank you. Your request for donations is appropriate. You do not sound like a Jerry Lewis telethon. If you're providing good and valuable content, people will naturally want to contribute. Is that what your experience is? That's a very interesting question. If you're providing good and valuable content, people will naturally want to contribute. I will tell you that that's not the case. That is not the case. And I have a lot of experience in this now. So, no, it is not the case that people will naturally want to contribute. Now, how would I know that? How would I have that experience, or how would I have that empirical knowledge? Because you're asking for people to be a mind reader. And I assume this shows up in your personal relationships as well. Because certainly back in the day, in my heyday, when I would do a donation pitch, I would get donations. So the idea that people will naturally do it, what that would mean is that there would be very little change in donations when I didn't do a donation pitch. So the idea that you just do good, and look, you guys are all honorable people, and that's why I'm, you know, it's more of a reminder than anything else. But yeah, it doesn't work that way. It really it doesn't work that way. You have to tell people what you like. You have to tell people what you need. You have to tell people what you want. Don't ask them to be mind readers. Why are people so tempted to want other people to be mind readers, right? Because it's not about donations, right? This is about your life. Why is everyone so incredibly tempted? I keep finding myself leaning over to get closer to the microphone. Why don't I just bring the microphone a little closer? Oh, is that too obvious? That feels too obvious. I just want to make sure I stay. No, it's not afraid of the no. It's not afraid. Sorry. No, you're wrong. I don't think it's that people are afraid of the no. Why is it that people are so tempted with this mind reading? Ah, yes, you're getting there. You're getting there. Because our parents expected us to read minds? No, quite the opposite. Sorry, I misread that. Quite the opposite. All right. I don't know, do we start off this heavy? Do we start off this heavy on a Sunday morning? Do we go just screw the bath escape? We're just going deep? Should we just go right to the bottom? All right. You guys want it. We're going waste of the dolphins deep. That's a line from The Waste of the Dolphins. I love that line. I know it doesn't sound any good out of context, but that line in the future. All right. When is the time in life when it is perfectly legitimate to expect people to read minds? When is the time in life when it is perfectly legitimate to ask people to read your mind? Infancy! Yes, that's right! Yes, that's right. Infancy, mind reading is the only way that we have to keep babies alive. All right, that's all we've got. It's all we've got, mind reading. It's the only way to keep babies alive. So why do people end up as adults wanting people to read their minds? Why do people as adults want other people or expect other people to read their minds and get offended when they don't? Because their parents failed at it. Because it's an incomplete cycle of childhood. Big babies. Oh, that's harsh. Yeah, because they were attacked and punished or neglected for having needs as a child. So because their parents didn't complete the phase of genuine empathy, then they find it incredibly painful to ask for what they want because it resurrects the ghost of infant suffering in their mind. And so what happens is, and they're angry at their parents, right? So they're angry at their parents for neglecting them. So what they do is they put the expectation on you that you have to know their needs without them asking. And because you have to know their needs without them asking, you have to be a parent to their toddler, which you can't be and you don't want to be, and it would be kind of creepy. Does this most often happen? Am I wrong? Does this most often happen in romantic relationships? Is it most often in romantic relationships that this mind-reading requirement shows up. Am I right about that? It is, right? I mean, occasionally it might happen at work, but not usually. Right. So the reason why, and sorry, and hit me with a why, if you've been in the you must read my mind relationship and it didn't work out, that would be me for sure. So you've been in a relationship that requires you to read minds, and that the woman, if she has to ask for what she wants, that means you don't love her. Right? If you have to ask for what she wants, if you have to ask her for what she wants, that means you just don't love her. Work was an eye-opener to how many unresolved parent-child relationships that are being worked out in the workplace. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or if you look at something like the movie The Breakfast Club, how many times children are punished for the sins of their parents. Yeah, the dinner thing is very important, right? The dinner thing is a huge kind of cliche that you say to your girlfriend says, I'm hungry, and you say, what do you want? Or where do you want to go for dinner? And she says, I don't know, whatever you want. And then you suggest places, and she says no, right? I shouldn't have to ask, you should just know. Right, right. So the reason why this doesn't work in romantic relationships is that we'll take the typical example. It can, of course, happen the other way around, naturally, right? We'll take the sort of typical example of the woman expecting the man to read her mind. So she's saying simultaneously, treat me as an adult sex object, i.e. romantic partner and so on, right? Treat me as an adult sexual romantic object, person, and a baby in diapers at the same time. Ouchies. This cannot be achieved. This cannot be achieved. So to the coquettish, like, little girl stuff that happens, I mean, do you guys know what the word neoteny means? Do you know what neoteny means? I don't want to explain it if... So neoteny is the retention of child characteristics into adulthood. Human females, this doesn't mean mindset or anything like that. This just means, so if you look at human females, they retain higher voices, which is characteristic of childhood. They are smaller in stature, which is characteristic of childhood. They, of course, have smaller frames, or used to, characteristic of childhood. They retain all of their hair their whole life, again, characteristic of childhood when all boys have their hair. So it's the retention of childlike characteristics into adulthood. It's very common across the animal kingdom as a whole. But neoteny is really important. Now, neoteny, of course, is when women attempt to appear younger than they are, which goes into really creepy territory if they attempt to appear too young, if that makes sense, right? So women want to appear younger than they are to men, so that it's a mask for the egg quality, right? So if women look younger, then men will unconsciously perceive them as having healthier eggs. But if women then go too far into appearing too young, that's creepy, right? It's pretty creepy and horrible because then they're going into child territory, and that's gross, right? So a woman who wants you to treat her as a child or an infant at the same time as she's involved in a sexual relationship with you is wiring your brain really, really badly, and you gotta not be in that situation. You gotta not be in that situation at all. That is just, yeah, the anime, all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, the big bug eyes, and also the girls who have the little. They do these Japanese cat ears and that kind of stuff, and they make those kind of funny, demonic, crazy faces. That's what children do. So the union of adult sexuality with childhood characteristics is programming you to be a serious creep, and if you are around that kind of stuff, you are really, really risking a lot. Yeah, women dyeing their hair blonde is imitating childhood. Yeah, that's right, for sure. For sure. Bob says, when I was a toddler, when I was a toddler, and my parents were proud, had talked about doing this. Wait, doing what? Sorry. What did I miss up here? I didn't see it. There's nothing there. We'd go to the store, and if I wanted something and fussed over it, my mom would leave the store without finishing shopping, with the goal of training us kids to not be like all the other fussy kids in the store. Eventually, I just wouldn't say I'd do anything in stores, and later in life, fail, or I'm willing to ask for what I want, right? Because for you, your mother programmed you that desires meant denial. To want something was to have it denied to you. So I'm really sorry for that. That's pretty terrible. Oh, yes, of course. Thank you for the tip, if you would like to tip. Karens have no problem asking for what they want, though. No, that's not an accurate... I mean, obviously, Karen's slightly racist statement, but it is... they don't ask. Karens have needs in order to bully, right? They have needs in order to bully. We've talked about this briefly on the show before, but not many men understand that middle-aged women who are not in an unprotected sex relationship, I mean, sort of post-fertility, sort of 45 or whatever, if they're in a situation where they're not having unprotected sex, they're at risk of mental health issues. Do you know that? And do you know why? Yeah, because male semen has antidepressants in it. And there is, it's funny because I remember seeing this years ago on a pretty corrupt and decadent show called Weeds, where the woman was just really tense and really angry and really yelling at everyone, and then she went out and had unprotected sex and calmed down in a way. So, yeah, there is, male semen is an antidepressant, or it contains antidepressant characteristics or qualities. So you think about that evolution, right? Like how many men had to get nagged into the grave for this defense mechanism of putting antidepressants in semen to be something, right? Women who have babies and breastfeed more during their fertile years have a lower chance of getting breast and ovarian cancer. I think that's true. I didn't do my Terra Facts last time. We'll get back to the women. So Terra Facts last time, a woman who's 40 plus, right? So you see all these celebrities having kids into their 40s and 50s and all that nonsense, right? So a woman who's 40 plus, what is her chances of getting pregnant every month? A woman who's 40 plus, what is her chance of getting pregnant every month? What is her chance? Yes, Jared is bang on the money, 5%. 5% chance of getting pregnant every month. Now, what percentage of her eggs remain healthy that are going to give you a healthy baby? What percentage of her eggs remain healthy? No, it's not that bad. So about 20% of her eggs remain healthy. So in general, and again, this is not medical advice. This is just stuff I've read. You can look it up for yourself and consult a physician on any questions you have. But yeah, 5% chance of getting pregnant every month, and 80% of the eggs have significant problems. And so, you know, women, one of the sort of ways that you collapse a culture is you get women to postpone stuff without knowing the risks or the dangers, right? So 35 plus is a geriatric pregnancy. It's called a geriatric pregnancy. And so it's just so brutal for women. You know, like I had all these egg jokes or these egg memes with me, you know, about the egg carton emptying and so on. But it is really out of genuine care and concern for women, for their mental health, for their physical health, for their happiness. Because so many women just sort of enjoy the dating and the frivolity and choose the wrong partners for reasons of vanity and mere sexual attraction and all of that. And then they sort of get into their 30s and they're like, oh, well, I think it's time to settle down. And it's like, well, all the good guys are gone. The guys who remain are, you know, kind of broken or struggling with divorces and multiple kids, and they're broke and so on, living in a van down by the river on a steady diet of government cheese and so on. And so they start to kind of panic and freak out, but then they say, well, you know, I can have a kid at 40 or 38 or whatever. And it's like, you know, these, that's really bad. the numbers. And then it's, oh, well, I'll freeze my eggs or I'll do IVF. The failure rates of IVF are actually pretty high. Fertility is just one of these things that is just not well studied. And if it is well studied, it's not discussed much. I mean, there are so many topics that people got mad at me about. There are so many topics that people got mad at me about. One of the ones that I found a little surprising that people would be so upset was the fertility issue. And of course, the reason why I understood it after the fact, the reason why women in general, men not so much, but women in general got so mad at me about the fertility stuff is that it provoked kind of soul-crushing anxiety in them. And rather than blame all the people, you know, this is the sad thing. Ooh, it's too early for a rant, isn't it? Yes, but I can't fight it. I can't fight the feeling. Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, my friends. Quick question, just out of curiosity. When it comes to society as a whole, does society get more angry at all the people in the known universe who've lied to them, or the one person who comes along with a faltering light of truth? Do they get more angry at the thousands of millions of people who've actively lied to them, or do they get really enraged and want to destroy the one person who comes along with a little faltering lantern of truth in the high rainstorm, gale, wind, hellscape of modern misinformation? That's right. That's right. Rage at the lantern. So, whose job is it to tell women about fertility? Whose job is it to tell women about, to tell girls about fertility so they can make the right? Yeah, it's the mother, it's the other women, and so on, right? Now, of course, I remember taking the most absolutely repulsive health classes did you ever do these? I think it was junior high or something like that. I couldn't stomach them. They were just so repulsive, these health classes about STDs and just like unbelievably horrifying, like just repulsive, horrifying, ghastly, grotesque, repulsive stuff. And like, I just got up and walked out. I won't even tell you what was going on, but I just got up and walked out. Like, I just, bleh, right? I mean, sex is such a beautiful and wonderful thing that, it was just wild. So why didn't they tell the young girls about fertility and when it drops off and when they're most fertile and so on? They didn't. Why didn't their mothers tell them? Why doesn't the media tell them? Why aren't there any stories of the woman who missed her fertility window and was depressed and unhappy and her sister had a lot of kids, right? I mean, I for how long have I said we need to have two sisters, one of whom is not having kids and one of whom is having kids, and the one who's not having kids is unhappy and the one who's having kids is happier, right? For how long have I been saying we need that story? And also, it doesn't hurt to throw in a spinster aunt who never had kids and devoted herself to her career, who then ends up very unhappy. And that is all embedded in my novel, The Present. This is not accidental. It doesn't come about. I'm not grabbing words out of the air. So, this is the funny thing. When enough people have lied, and enough people have accepted those lies, and you know, everyone gets mad at the liars too, but they wouldn't be liars if there wasn't a market for lies. Now, some of those liars have a captive audience in the form of government education and, you know, coerced students and so on. But there's a huge demand for lies, right? You get people to make a couple of mistakes, and there's just a huge demand for lies. Just give me comfort. Oh God, just give me comfort. Don't make me look in the absolute straight lit mirror of my own decisions. Give me some warping monstrous monstrosity that just gets me defer that anxiety until it's too late. The Present was awesome. Great book. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, I'm feeling the daycare homeschool divide more strongly than after reading your novel, The Present. Yeah, it's a great book. So the mother's job, it's their doctor's job, it's the health school teacher's job, it's the priest's job, it's everyone's job to tell women about fertility. And also, it's important to tell women one other basic truth, which is the more educated you are, the fewer men you will date. The more successful you are, the fewer men you will date. The more money you make, the fewer men you will date. You are slimming down to virtually nothing sometimes. Your opportunities for dating. Oh, yes, I want to go and be a lawyer and I want to go and make $250,000 a year. Hey, you can do that. But you will most likely be alone. Why? Because if you're a woman making $250,000 a year, do you want a guy making 50K? You don't. Because that would mean collapsing your lifestyle if you want to stay home with the kids, right? So you want a guy who makes $400,000 a year or $300,000 a year, and then you want to keep working. But a guy who makes a lot of money most often doesn't want a wife who works. I mean, what's he working for if not to have someone home raising his kids? Plus, he's a quality guy. He's read, he's thought, he's understood. He wants kids so that he can pass along his legacy. And the legacy is not just money. The legacy is values and ideas and thoughts and culture and perspective and so on. So a woman who's more successful is going to want the absolute top point one. She's going to want one guy in 1,000, right? The woman who's very successful, one guy in 1,000. But the thing is, if you're one guy in 1,000 and you've got 100 women who all are desperate to date you, are you going to settle down? Like, you're guaranteeing yourself. You're guaranteeing yourself solitude and bitterness. Solitude and bitterness. The other thing, too, of course, is that women get addicted to the more attractive guys that they can get by offering sex, right? Sex is a 2 to 3 point subsidy up in the scale of attractiveness. So a woman who's a 7 can get a guy who's a 10 if she offers sex. If she wants commitment, she's going to have to settle for someone roughly in her own band, right? So you get this, it's a drug, it's cocaine to happiness, right? Well, she can sleep with him, she can have a short-term relationship with him, she whatever, right? So women subsidize relationships, a lot of women, not all women, of course, a lot of women subsidize their relationships, quote, relationships with sex, and then they get really angry that the guy won't won't settle down, right? But women control access to sex, men control access to marriage. So, yeah, it's really tragic. So nobody says this to women. Oh, yeah, you can go and get a degree. But, and the other thing, too, either you get an economically productive degree, in which case you want a very high-earning guy. The very high-earning guy is going to be able to date younger women and not have to deal with the stress. Like, why on earth would you, if you make some $400,000 a year or something like that, you make something like that, why on earth would you want a working wife and all of that stress? Right? Why not just have someone stay home, take care of the kids, blah, 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 right? They take care of the household. It doesn't make any sense. So you go and get educated, make a lot of money, and either you're going to chase that one guy in 1,000 who's got infinite odds. And the other thing, too, sorry, ladies, if you're working a desk job, you're going to get lumpy. I mean, it's just kind of the way that it is. It's one of the reasons I am very happy to be not spending 8 hours at a desk or 10 hours at a desk as I used to when I was a coder. You just get kind of hunched. You get kind of lumpy and kind of fat and all of that. I mean, grinding on an office chair does not exactly wear away the old cellulite, if you know what I mean. So yeah, it's not a winning solution. So either you get an economically productive degree, in which case you'll get used to a certain lifestyle and you won't give it up, or, and of course, you don't want to be dependent on a man. No, you want to be dependent on taxpayers, because that's way more, you know, being dependent on a man is way more sustainable than being dependent on taxpayers. I think we can all understand that as the U.S. hits north of $33 trillion in debt. No, I'll be dependent on the state. That's a sure thing. When's that ever gone wrong in history? Or you get an economically unproductive degree, in which case you come out with $30,000 in debt or $40,000 in debt, and you can't pay it off, really. You can pay the minimum or whatever it is, right? So then you start dating a guy, and the guy's like, so I got to drop 30 to 40K or take on that risk or that liability? Like, that's like this bizarre reverse dowry. Like, I have to pay $40,000 or $30,000 to marry you? Because if I want you to have kids and stay home, you aren't going to be earning the scratch to pay off that kind of money. So you now come with a price tag. I mean, it's wild. It's wild. Somebody says, happened to me just last year. A woman didn't tell me about $30,000 in debt. Needless to say, I didn't say. Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Some men promise things and are not dependable. Some men promise things and are not dependable. Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. Oh, my friend. Oh, my friends. So are you trying to tell me, Rose, are you trying to tell me, Rose, that men have mating strategies that are based on deception? Some men have mating strategies that are based on deception. And you with a straight face are literally going to tell me that men have mating strategies that might be based on... I'm not laughing at you. I just think it's kind of funny. You see, men have mating strategies, and sometimes they can inflate their achievements, and sometimes they can make promises that, you know, maybe in the moment they feel, but they just, it may not be able to follow through, and all of that kind of stuff. So, men have mating strategies that can be a little deceptive. Women have Spanx, they have makeup, they have liposuction sometimes, they have Botox. They have heels, which make them seem taller and thus healthier, and also put their butt out on a shelf. So I just find it really funny. They hide debt. A lot of times single mothers, when they're trying to bag a guy, they will have all of their friends and family pour in to help with the kid situation so that the kids barely seem to have an impact on the relationship. Yeah. And of course, because the facts of fertility are not generally known in society. And why are the facts of fertility not generally known in society? Because women freak out, attack, and punish anybody who tells the truth. So why are women so desperate to hide the facts of fertility? And I know this from direct experience. Talking about basic facts of fertility would regularly get hysterical attacks from thousands of females on social media. So why are women so desperate to hide the facts of fertility? Why? Because they want to have short-term fun? Yeah, but they can have short-term fun even if the facts of fertility are known. Why are women so desperate to hide the facts of fertility? It's a weakness. It doesn't describe much, though, right? Because what happens to their marriage market value, right? So there's sexual market value in your 20s for a lot of women, and then there's marriage market value in their 30s. What happens to a woman's marriage market value if the facts of fertility are known? Some 37-year-old woman wants to offer a man children. What happens if he knows the facts of fertility and has a choice between a 37-year-old woman and a 27-year-old woman, and he wants kids? What's going to happen to all of the women in their mid to late 30s, who want to settle down, have kids, and they're putting themselves out there on the market? While I've had my fun, I've traveled, been to Dubai once or twice. Let me tell you, that was quite something. But I've had my fun, and I'm like totally ready to settle down now and have a good man and want to raise a family and blah, 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 blah. So what happens to men who know the facts of fertility when they're being offered a woman in her late 30s? Right, it craters. It craters. Particularly if you want more than one child. Now, how... I shouldn't laugh because it's brittle and brutal stuff, right? How, in general, do people react when you wreck their marriage prospects? When they feel that you're wrecking their marriage prospects? How do people react when you're taking away the strength, stability, and security for the rest of their life? very kindly. That's right. They say, gee, you know, it's not your fault that all of this was hidden from me and that I never bothered to look it up for, I don't know, a woman who's 38, has been an adult for 20 years and never bothered to look up fertility stats. It's not your fault I avoided facts and pursued short-term winning strategies. And it's not, you know, I had a lot of fun, I traveled and all this. Not your fault. No, what happens, right? What happens? No, yeah, very young women react badly as well. No, it was almost never very young women. Very young women thanked me on social media for finally telling them the truth so that they could organize their lives productively. Perhaps she didn't know about the internet. Yes, women sure don't know much about Instagram. They don't know anything about Instagram or anything like that. So yes, women don't know anything, particularly the women who are attacking me on social media. They don't know anything about the internet, right? So... in a recession, never F with another man's source of income, right? Taylor thanked Steph. I'm glad you two are finally getting along. What was it? There was a pretty funny guy on social media who was telling his wife, like, man, Taylor Swift is going to totally blow up because she's dating this really great football player. Like, he's one of the best tight ends in the league. And, man, she's really going to blow up. And she was like, what? That was funny, right? Does she even know who you are? Yeah, of course she does. Yeah, that would be something that would have come to her attention, no question. So, I mean, it was one of the biggest memes on the planet for a month or two. And it was voted one of the worst tweets in the history of Twitter. Oh. Goals. Goals. Yeah, no, it was huge. It was absolutely huge. Monstrous. And, you know, boy, did I ever do a lot of good with that tweet. That one tweet probably caused 60,000 babies to be born. I did the math on the show once. So, yeah, that was good. Huge. That was huge. So, look at the math, right? So, if you look at the math, a woman in her late 30s who wants children is probably going to require $300,000 to $400,000 in order to raise those children. And so she's looking for a man to provide $300,000 to $400,000 to raise her children. Could be more, could be less, but in general, on average, so $300,000 of after-tax income is necessary to raise those children, and that's assuming that she's not even staying home. It's going to be higher. I guess it's going to be higher because that's the direct cost of raising children. It's going to be higher, of course, if she works, then she's going to have to pay for daycare and childcare. It's going to be very expensive. If she stays home, then someone's also going to have to give her the money for her to stay home. Right, so we're talking $500,000, right? At least, probably more, right? Thank you for the tip, David. I really appreciate that. So let's just say two kids, right? So we're talking at least $500,000. Now, while she's home, she's not working, and then she's got to try and find some way to get back into the workforce, and she's going to take an income hit because of that, for sure. So if we sort of look at the overall lifelong impact of the amount of money that needs to be transferred from a man to a woman if they're going to have kids, $500,000 to $300,000 to $750,000. And then she's also going to need retirement because she won't have had enough of an income to get a really good retirement, so he's going to have to pay for her retirement as well. So, again, we can sort of quibble with the numbers, but let's just settle on about $1 million. So if a woman can convince a man to marry her based on the promise of giving him children, like he wants kids, right? And so if the woman can convince the man to marry her based on kids, either she has kids, in which case she gets about $1 million, or she doesn't have kids, in which case they'll be together for about a couple of years, and then they'll just start sniping at each other. Like, if you don't have kids within about 5 years, you just start sniping at each other, finding fault with everything, and then she'll divorce him, right? And she'll divorce him, and she'll take half his stuff, which could be $500,000, could be more, could be $250,000. She gets alimony and so on going forward. In California, what was it, after 10 years, you got alimony for life? $300,000 to $400,000 per year? Oh, come on, man. Don't clog up the chat with stuff that takes just a moment's thought to dismiss. Like, please, don't. I mean, come on. don't distract everyone because you're panicking. Do you really think that children cost $400,000 per year? Do you know the average income? Do you know that there are children in the world? Come on, man. Don't waste time. Oh, the tweet in question was something like, wow, I can't believe Taylor Swift is turning 30. She seems so young. Wild to think that 90% of her eggs are already dead. I hope she decides to become a mother. I think she'd be a really fun mom. That was the tweet. Why are you thinking about Taylor Swift eggs? That's creepy, right? So women are selling eggs. And I pointed out that 90% of what they're selling are gone by the age of 30. So women freak out. And women then attack this to make sure that the message doesn't get out to men about the significantly higher value of younger women. And of course, older women, but also a lot of them who are unmarried, will attack men who are interested in younger women as immature, it's creepy, it's weird, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, sorry, ladies, you lost any ability to talk about men being creepy and weird when you drove 50 Shades of Grey to the number one best-selling book of all time. Sorry, ladies, that gelatin, greasy, porn star ship sailed years ago. Y'all can't ever talk about men and men's weird and creepy sexual thoughts, habits, practices, preferences, predilections, you name it. We can want a shaved gibbon, well-oiled, dangling from a sex stick on a baobab tree. We're not anywhere close to this 50 Shades of Grey stuff. This 50 Shades of Grey stuff lifted a lid on female sexuality that most men lost eyebrows even for peering over the rim of it. It's like, oh my God, you want to be beaten half to death if the guy's got a helicopter? Oh my God. Oh, please. Somebody found the tweet. This was from 2019. I can't believe Taylor Swift is about to turn 30. She still looks so young. It's strange to think that 90% of her eggs are already gone, 97% by the time she turns 40. So I hope she thinks about having kids before it's too late. She'd be a fun mom. Smiley face. Yeah, that was thermonuclear. Oh, Taylor Swift is pretty for sure. I just couldn't stand somebody who would have that pursed lips thing all the time. I have no clue what Steph just described. I'm already, he just went full Eldritch Spat speaking in tongues. So, no. No, it's 50 Shades of Grey. Just look it up. Was the 50 Shades of Grey for Western women only? Or do you think it applies to non-Western women also? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. So, and of course, 50 Shades of Grey was half about pedo impulses anyway, so. No, this wasn't harsh. It was encouraging. She still looks so young. And I hope she remembers that, you know, fertility window closes pretty quickly. And I hope she thinks about having kids if she wants them. Yeah. I think she'd be a fun mom. It's very positive. She looks great. She'd be a fun mom. I hope she thinks about having kids. Remember these basic biological facts. I wasn't demonizing anybody. I wasn't attacking anybody. These were straight up scientific facts. And the world just went completely mental. And of course, at the time, I mean, it's funny when you're not offended by facts to just remember how many people are offended by facts. I'm trying to think of a fact that I've ever found deeply offensive or really, really upsetting. I honestly can't think of. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, whites have lower IQs than East Asians. That's interesting. Like, when you're not triggered by facts, in other words, when you're kind of deeply seated in rational reality and have the emotional self-control somewhat above your average toddler on cocaine, then it's kind of hard to remember that you're surrounded by a bunch of hair-triggered zombie heads who lash out viciously against any intrusion of reality on their fantasies. Most men bald after their 20s. Oh, yeah, it's funny when you think of certainly post-TV, no bald guy's ever become president in the U.S., which is like by the time you get to that age, it's like 90% of men have lost some hair. So the entire talent pool is 90% of people are excluded, right? Can IVF solve the problem of diminishing eggs? It's tough. It's really tough. I won't give any medical advice, but it wasn't the fact, it's how you said it. Yeah, it's It's wild. It's wild. The world looks like it's full of human beings. It's a cunning delusion. There are a lot of reactive people right out there. It's like feminism, right? So feminism had a choice, right? And feminism could say, gee, there's some social structures that aren't particularly friendly towards women. And what they could do, what feminists could have done, is they could have got really angry at the teeny, 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 tiny number of elites who tend to control the society as a whole. Or what they could have done is get angry at every single man in the known universe, including their husbands, their brothers, their fathers, their uncles, everyone. Oh, society is not, there's negative things in society about women. So I'm going to get mad at, not at the people who can draft and murder the man in my life who I love. I'm going to get mad at all men. All men. It's wild. Facts can be offensive if they're not said in a polite way, like by saying, you're fat. But I was being perfectly polite and positive and encouraging. Yeah. Yeah. So, when you're just a truth teller and everyone gets mad at you for telling the truth rather than saying, I can't believe I was lied to my whole life. It's wild. It's wild. And, of course, a lot of the women, and this is not, of course, it's not all women, but just sort of doing a bit of a bottom scraping here, but for women as a whole, or this type of woman, they will often date an older man when they're in their 20s, because the older man has resources and can pay for things and buy them stuff and all that kind of, right? And so an older man is who they want to date when they get older. But then when they get older and men their age want to date younger women, which is the exact relationship that they benefited from materially when they were younger, now when men their own age don't want to date them, but instead want to date younger women, suddenly the younger women who used to date older men, now that they're older, hate the fact that older, the men their age are dating younger women. Oh, God. Oh, I can't. Like, I have a bit of a, and, you know, it's a blessing and a minor burden. Like, I have this steel trap brain where hypocrisy is just, it's just right there. My own as well, right? My own as well. So the fact that people can just do these complete 180s and not even notice it and not even care, and it's wild to me. It's like, well, wait a minute. You dated older men when you were younger. What's wrong with men your age dating younger women? Like, that's like, I couldn't do that kind of stuff. And when people have pointed out, as they have over the years, which I'm very thankful for, when people have pointed out hypocrisies that I have, I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's unarguable, right? That's absolutely unarguable, right? Tiffany says, my old college roommate, 43 years old now, married a younger man, and I'm sure he thought they would have kids. Then she got a $100,000 raise by changing jobs. Now, 4 years later, she's worried because their relationship has gone to crap. We had dinner a few weeks ago, and it was so hard not to say, duh, girl, what man wants to compete with that? Oh, so do you think it's because of her raise that the relationship is in trouble? No. The lizard brain. Oh, yeah, 41-year-old woman once told me, it seems like men don't want to date these days. Do you know why that is? Again, I'm sorry. Like, it's wild. It's wild. I don't know if people are literally that blind. I don't think so. I'll tell you my basic thought. My basic thought is that everyone knows everything. I mean, you've heard me this a million times in call-in shows, right? By the way, after about an hour, we'll go sub only, subscriber only, if you want to join that part of the spicier part. We'll get into some serious, deep, feisty spices. But everybody knows everything. So when people in call-in shows, right, they say, well, I don't know this or I don't know that about their parents or their childhood. I'm like, yes, you do. Yeah, you do. And what happens 100% of the time when someone claims not to know something and I say, yeah, you know it. Of course you know it. What happens? Literally, I can't remember a single time that hasn't worked. I'm sure there may be one or two. What happens every single time someone claims to not know something and then I challenge them? They're like, oh, well, yeah, there is that, right? I have no idea where the pirate's treasure is buried. Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm standing on it. I'm currently clothed in the pirate treasure. So, yeah, everybody knows everything. That was my theory. And that's why, to me, any claims of ignorance are lies. I mean, they're just lies, right? I mean, I believe that everybody even knows abstract economic principles. They know them sort of instinctively. And this has been proven in many experiments where people can't figure out the abstract economic principles, but you put it in a social distribution system like people at a bar and paying for bills or whatever, everybody gets it instinctively. So even people who are like, well, I don't know why prices are going up. It's like, yeah, you do. Of course you do. Of course you do, right? So I don't claim. So when a woman says, gee, I'm 41 and men don't seem to want to date anymore, why is that? I wouldn't even know what to say to someone like that. It's like, of course you know. Of course you know. You absolutely, like, the idea that, and women know about fertility stuff and they know about aging out. They just deny that and then they get mad at people who remind them. Why people get mad, they're not mad at me. I mean, it's like I've never taken this stuff personally, right? They're not mad at me. They're mad at themselves for greedily denying basic reality. You don't think women know about aging out or the war? Of course they do. Of course they do. Steph, I'm going to the beach tomorrow. Any advice on how to survive the sun? A philosopher, not a dermatologist? I don't know. I think we repress some things because we don't want to think about it. Some things might be depressing. Slip, slap, slop, isn't it? Slip on a shirt, slap on a hat, slop on some sunscreen, isn't that sort of thing? Oh, just get one of those beach umbrellas. Anyway, we don't want to think about it. No! Oh, we don't want to think about it. So the idea that you're just one person who just makes self-sabotage-y bad decisions is nonsense. This is false. This is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. No, other people don't want you to think about it, right? So the people who want a lower population, want children, want women to avoid. No, they lie to themselves. No, they're serving somebody else's preferences and needs by lying. Right. So when I was in not so great relationships, nobody around me told me to get into better relationships or anything like that because they all preferred me to be in a bad relationship. It was punishment for being an honest philosopher, at least honest up to the point of being in bad relationships or not so great relationships. They weren't bad relationships, just not great relationships. So yeah, so a lot of it comes down to money. So I start to talk about fertility issues and then women in their mid to late 30s who are single, I'm taking $500,000 to $1 million off the plate. Right. That's like their instinctive resources are, you're stealing $500,000 to $1 million from me. Because if I don't get married, that's what I don't get access to. If I don't get married, that's what I don't get access to. I don't get access to the man's income, either through raising his kids or through alimony or palimony, or maybe child support if I do both, but I don't have that. You're turning off the cash hose. You're turning off the money hose. Literally the money hose, right? So why are they getting angry? Well, you know, if you perceived somebody was taking $500,000 to $1 million out of your life, you'd be pretty angry at them too. So yeah, it's not about facts. It's about resources. Why do people get angry at me if we're talking about fertility? Well, because I'm taking $500,000 to $1 million off. Sorry, I just wanted to off the table for them. So your old college roommate, Tiffany, the relationship has gone to crap. Because after a couple of years, if you don't have kids, you fight with each other. Because you're trying to break up. Because your genes are like, okay, so I'm with somebody who's infertile. So I need to break up with that person and find someone who's fertile. So you just start finding fault, picking faults. Like a process that you really can't... you really can't do much to control it, right? There's a Jennifer Aniston movie with Vince Vaughn, The Breakup, I think it's called, where he's supposed to pick up lemons from the store. He doesn't pick up lemons, and she's angry at him because he doesn't care, and just snipping at him. And I want you to want to help around the house, and just nee, 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 nee. And it's like, yeah, well, they don't have kids. They don't have kids. So they don't have kids, so they're trying to break up with each other because their genes want to reproduce. Bob says, when I would get into trouble with my mom, she'd ask why I did whatever I did. A lot of the time I'd answer, I don't know. We'd be told by mother, that's not an answer, and hit more. It doesn't matter what answer I give her, I'd always end the same. Yeah. Yeah, so this is the bad mood beatings. I want you to want to do the dishes. And he says, no one wants to do the dishes. Right. Jennifer Aniston is 50. She'd have been a fun mom. I don't agree with that. I think she's messed up beyond words. Beyond words. I did dip into the morning show. Oh, it's such relentless brain-deadening propaganda. I literally couldn't take it. I feel it's like, oh, God, I need to shut down the tablet like it just got hijacked. Why is she messed up? Everybody who's in the entertainment industry has to make pretty unholy moral compromises, right? Yeah, she said she can't be friends with anyone without the vax and all of that, so yeah, it's wild. Somebody says, hey, Steph on X. I made a comment about how the New York City infrastructure is the cause of the flood, and things will only get worse because we are now in a quota system, not a meritocracy. These are the first signs of collapse. I was attacked. LOL, what are your thoughts? Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a whole society that's based on relentless meritocracy. We've replaced that with quota systems and stuff like that. So, yeah, you can't sustain a meritocracy-based system on anything other than meritocracy, so. Any plans to join JFG Tonight tomorrow on Odyssey? I don't watch other people's shows, really. Occasionally, I'll drop into someone like Scott Adams, because I know he's pretty calm to go to sleep to. But I just find that there's way too much avoidance of basic facts. So, yeah, Jennifer Aniston just has to repeat a particular narrative and... here's the thing, too. So, I mean, generally the way it works is you have a lot of talent, you get famous, and she's very talented. She's a very talented comedian, not some great dramatic actress, but as a comedian, she's fantastic. And she also, you know, back in the days of Friends, she was absolutely heartbroken to be turning 30. And I think one of the characters gave her a grandmother card, and right? And so she was absolutely, and so there was a, I'm turning 30, and I don't have a husband, and I don't have a kid. Like this woman who was texting with her mother, sort of a famous image from the text. A woman was texting with her mother and says, oh my God, I just came across a picture of you when you were 27 and we look almost exactly the same. And the mom's like, yeah, but at 27 I had a husband. And the daughter's like, bye. Yeah. And Jennifer Aniston, of course, has spent, I don't know, I can't even imagine how much money and how many years trying to have a baby, right? It could also be, you know, like the skinny requirement, right? Jennifer Aniston's a Greek girl. She was heavier, and then she lost a lot of weight to get down to that stick figure Courtney Cox 2% body fat scenario, and maybe that had an effect on her childhood thing, having children. She also picked a risky guy, Brad Pitt. Yeah, I'm mixed about Brad Pitt. Not that I spend a lot of time thinking about Brad Pitt. Unless I'm in the shower. But Brad Pitt's kind of, I'm half and half about him. Like, he's got this traditional Midwestern masculinity where he threatened Harvey Weinstein for doing things in the proximity of Gwyneth Paltrow. But yeah, he's not great at picking women because he picks according to looks, right? He picks according to looks. And I based a little bit. So I got a few things from Brad Pitt. The Brad Pitt is very aware of how his good looks are just kind of accidental, as is his sort of low body fat and all of that. Although I know he works out, but you know, a lot of people work out without looking like that. And so he set up a whole fund for actors who aren't quite as handsome and all of that. Like, it's just kind of accidental. So I think that's good. Why are you trying to get me to get JF a girlfriend? Would you consider it self-sabotage to require marriage before sex if in 30s when you don't have a body count in the current generation? To require marriage before sex if in 30s when you don't have a body count in the current situation? I don't know. Are you a male or a female? I don't know. Just work on being... You're a female? You don't have... you're a virgin in your 30s? Is that right? Is that right? You're a virgin in your 30s? Was sexually abused, so not a virgin. Well, that doesn't count, and I'm very sorry to hear that. It's very sad. No, it doesn't count. If you're sexually abused, that doesn't count in terms of virginity. All right, I'm going to answer this on the supporter-only stream because this is really, really tough. This is really tough. So I will answer this on the supporter screen. I'll give you the link if you want to join. If you're not in there as yet, I will give you the link and you get some really great stuff. Staffbot AI, premium call-in shows, and the History of Philosophers series, all that kind of good stuff. So you can just join there. You can try it for free for a month. freedomain.locals.com. You can use the promo code, all caps, UBB2022. Should I get tested for autism because my therapist wants me to get tested? I mean, I obviously can't answer that. Right, we're going dark in 10 seconds, and then I'm gonna shock you all. Sorry, but it's gonna happen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right.